Hello, everyone. Today, I'm joined by Adam Allnut, who is the chair of the Young Fabians. And he's going to be talking a little bit about his role at the Young Fabians, what he's managed to achieve so far this year, a little bit of history of the Young Fabians, the rise of Fabianism, and looking towards the future of the Young Fabians. Hi, Adam.
Hi. Thanks for having me on, Louis. I think this is actually my first ever podcast appearance.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah. I'm very keen for other people to chair events and to be part of it and to sit on panels. Mm. I've done my fair share of running events and being on committees, and now it's definitely time for the next generation of YFers to come through, that's for sure.
Yeah, and now it's a time for you to finally feature on an event and talk a little bit about you and yourself and what you've managed to do.
Great. Yeah. Well, I've had a brilliant journey through Young Fabians. You know, I've been an active member for the last 4 years, and it's been quite a ride, I think it's fair to say. There's been a lot of change in the time I've been involved in the Young Fabians. We had a few, not fallow years, but, you know, with a leader of the Labour Party who wasn't as connected to Fabianism as Keir Starmer is, it made it more challenging. But it was a great training opportunity for me to understand how policy is made, who are the movers and shakers, how is policy made in the party, how is it influenced, what does, how do you host events in Parliament? You know, I worked for Tom Watson MP in 2013 to 2014, so I already knew a little bit about Parliament, already knew a little bit about process. During that period was a real eye opener for me. It was fantastic. It was after Murdoch and News Corp, but it was during fixed odds, helping to get rid of fixed odds betting terminals and the aftermath of Murdoch and all this kind of stuff. And Carrie Murphy was my office manager, and I've made friends with Len McCluskey and Dan Card and all these people who, the world changed in 2015 when we lost the election. And as did all of those relationships. And then after helping Tom get elected to become deputy leader, then kind of stepping out of it a little bit, it was the Young Fabians that gave me the opportunity to get back into the political arena and do more and get back on that learning curve where I got to learn how policy's made, how the sausage is made, where the factory is, and how to deliver policy. So it's been really interesting.
Amazing. Yeah. So could you paint a picture for us of how you sort of got involved in the Young Fabians?
Yeah. So I became really interested in local government, really, really interested. I think local government, it's where more than 80 or 90% of an average person's interactions with the state are. They're at local government level. It's street cleaners, it's rubbish, it's waste, it's different parts of energy, it's planning, it's all of these different bits and pieces, which is the vast majority of your interactions with the state. And so I decided that I wanted to learn as much as I physically could, because my ambition was to go and become a local councillor. And although I didn't get selected to become a local councillor, I did come up with a plan to try and run to be the chair of the local government devolution network. And I thought, best way to do that is to raise your profile. So I went to a load of Young Fabian events, contributed a couple of pieces, done a blog, done some other bits and pieces. And then I ran for the main exec, and I accidentally got elected because I wasn't expecting to. I got elected with 99 votes. And the person after me had 98 votes. And I'm sorry, Tristan, still to this day. And hopefully you'll be able to get me one day. So the Young Fabians is a bit different. You don't run for specific positions. 12 people are elected to a committee. And then from within the committee themselves, they then assign different positions. My first year, Rhea was chair. You had Miriam Mirowich, Jack Phipps, Charlotte Norton, Kuba, Deba Said, and a load of other people. Rhea's year was a good year. I got to be the local government. I chose the position, create the position of local government policy liaison. Produced a meaty pamphlet that had 7 or 8 different contributors about how local government's funded, different avenue, you know, where, why is council tax the way it is, what are different ideas for reforms, what are different ideas for policies, and a real analytical unpacking of it. We got sponsorship from the local government, the Labour group at the local government association. We had Andrew Gwynn, the then shadow local government minister, put right the foreword. We had a big event at conference to launch it. I've done an event series around the country with events, 7 inside London, 7 outside of London in places all around England. I didn't manage to get to Wales or Scotland or Northern Ireland, unfortunately. And it was a big year for me for the in the Young Fabians, because you get as much out as you put in, and I put everything into it. And the year itself was great. You know, lots of people started to come through, but as with all things, you know, there were some breakdowns in relationships on committees, and when we then went to go get re-elected, it's part of the reason why we banned slates, part of the reason why we brought in all of these election rules, which I, if anyone listening, I'd advise you to go and read them. There was, you know, last year when Charlotte was chair, there was a number of relationship breakdowns, but it was a year that may have been a missed opportunity for a lot of people. You know, there wasn't as much output as there maybe there could have been. But, you know, this happens. And I got told by LJ, who's on the Senior Fabians Committee, was previously on our committee, that the Young Fabians tends to go in cycles, where you have sort of two to four good years, and then you have maybe a couple of off years when there's a bit of a changing of the guard. And that's what happened. And then I was very fortunate to be the only person re-elected from the previous committee to this committee, with what I thought and still think are one of the most brilliant group of people I think I've ever worked with. I'm incredibly fortunate to have a committee of people who do work, who are committed, who have real Fabian aligned aspects to their their sort of politics and to what they do. And, you know, we've achieved so much this year that that was unfathomable over the last few years. You know, we've been very fortunate. That comes to all of the different bits and pieces that we've managed to achieve throughout the course of the year. We had a meeting with all of the people who got elected at the beginning of our term, and we managed to have it at level 39, which was where I managed to bring together the Young European Socialists Bureau meeting, and I managed to get them to come to London with the help of a number of people, of course. And it was brilliant. Yeah, Howard Dorver, shout out to you. You know, a person who was a previous chair of the Young Fabians and is now the managing director of Canary Wharf Group, gave us an entire floor of One Canada Square, a very, you know, iconic building in Canary Wharf. And he donated $2,500 to the visit so that we could take them out for food and we could host them and everything else. You know, young Fabians alumni make their way into some very interesting places. So, you know, words of the wise, keep an eye out for people who were involved. And yeah, so we managed to get 60 people from Social Democratic Party all around Europe come to the UK. And no one, I can't find a record of that ever happening before. It was brilliant. But that was during a general election. So this year, my year as chair has had a number of, you know, massive things happen. You know, we had a general election, which we lost dramatically. We had a leadership election, which wasn't necessarily contentious, but was very long. We've had a massive global pandemic. We're about to go into a recession. We've had what feels like a massive changing of the guard in the Labour Party, which I'm sure we'll come on to, is it represents for the Young Fabians and for everyone who's listening to this podcast as a Young Fabian, represents an opportunity to you. You know, this is your time to really shine. That's one thing I'm going to, you know, increasingly in my sort of last bit of my time with the Young Fabians, as I'm 31, I'm aging out now. My time is over. You know, I was the future once, and now it's definitely down to you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the year's been great. You know, we took delegations to Luxembourg, a delegation to Brussels. We were the second to last group to visit the European Parliament as a paid trip, met with by MEPs. We had another trip abroad, which I can't remember quite where it was. Unfortunately, last year the Young Fabians was put in special measures, And this year, because of the hard work of my committee and to the young, the hard work of all different young Fabians, we're out of special measures and we're out in quite a way. We've built up a lot of political capital because of the hard work of our members. And it's people who act in a comradely, strong way, who are a testament to the brilliant work that's gone on this year. You know, it's been fantastic. Whether that's helping found a set of regional groups that are, you know, going great guns, and it's going to be a real legacy out of this year, you know, really decentralising the Young Fabians and really pushing out into the regions like it's never happened before. This has never happened before to the degree it is.
I was amazed to learn that there were no devolution groups before this year. I think it's fantastic that initiative has been made and there are these groups now. Like, for what used to be such like a London-centric group, you know, like the fact that it's branching out to like the northwest, to Scotland, to Wales, that's a massive achievement. I think it's incredibly important.
Yeah, I think, and shout out to George Fairhurst, who sent us the first application for a regional group. He wanted to do the Young Yorkshire and Humber Fabians. So thank you, George, for being a massive help with that. And, you know, then thanks to everybody else. There's too many people to name now, which is fantastic. And we've always, since I've been involved the last 4 years in the Young Fabians, getting out of London's been a struggle.
Yeah.
It's been a real struggle. That's why in my first year on the committee, I made a beeline to have events outside of London. And we ended up having 7 outside of London, from Stevenage to Brighton, Manchester, Liverpool. Trying really hard. But what you need is you need to devolve power. You need to devolve power away from the centre and put it into the regions. And fortunately, we have some brilliant people all around the country who just need a platform. And that's our job as committee members in the Central Committee. You know, I'd say to any aspiring committee members for the Young Fabians, your job is not to get you on a platform. Your job is to put other Young Fabians on platforms. That's your job. You know, your job is to put the ladder down. You know, you're on the committee. You've done a good job. Your job is now to help other people. And by replicating that again and again, by encouraging people to put the ladder down as much as physically possible, that's where you'll get to the process where the Young Fabians will be bigger, better, and a much more productive place for people who have aspirations to become policy movers, policy influencers, because that's what we are. We're a policy think tank. We're member-led, which means that our members should be garnering opportunities for our members to have input and to be able to learn how policy is made, how it's influenced, and then also to influence it itself. It comes to being two things, why I said in my election campaign to be chair, you know, we're both a training ground, but we're also a lobbyist body. We also have a voice, and we have certain views and opinions and values. You know, although we don't hold policy positions as an organisation, you know, we're a centre-left think tank where, you know, we have progressive mindset. And it's our job to use that progressive mindset, our analytical ways, and our influence to be the change that we want to see. When lockdown got called, it was a shock. You know, we had to just clean the slate. We had everything for the year was done. Every plan we had had. You know, this is the 60th anniversary year of the Young Fabians. You know, this should be a big year for us, and it has been. But not in the way we thought it would be.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say. 115 Zoom events, 40 plus Labour MPs involved. You know, we instigated, I think, 12 policy pamphlets. We probably going to have 5 or 6 finished by the end of the year, which is the most that any year has had for a while. Anticipations has been completely redesigned. And one thing which I feel is very exciting, one of the reasons why I'm very happy to have you here, is we've co-opted on 5 members of the exec. I don't know, what's been your experience so far?
I mean, yeah, it's just been such a, obviously it's such a weird time, like you say, with the pandemic sort of derailing almost every plan. I think I started my position in about June, so I barely know to what extent the Young Fabians' plans for this year had been disrupted, but I feel like it's provided such an opportunity, and like so many opportunities for like people to get more involved. Like you said, like there have been so many Zoom calls, so many events, that, you know, may or may not have happened otherwise. So it's sort of like a...
You joined at an interesting point. You definitely joined at an interesting point.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, my experience so far has been completely positive. You know, I think, if anything, I just want to get involved a lot more.
Good.
I've still got quite a few more years till I'm 31. So hopefully in a few more years, we'll, we'll see.
The whole point of the Young Fabians is to give opportunities to people, right? And I said at the beginning of the year that I wanted to co-opt people onto the exec, that was something which I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think it's a privilege to sit on the exec, I do, but I also think more than that, it's an opportunity. And we exist, in my view, as an organization, as I said, and as I reiterate, to be a training ground for the next generation of activists and the next generation of people who need maybe for us to give them a leg up to get into a position of authority or a position of influence and,
yeah,
crucially, teach people and give people experience in creating and being the influence that they want to see. And that comes to the writing of pamphlets, that comes to an active blog, that comes to running events with shadow ministers and different think tanks. Because prior to the Young Fabians, I had never run an event before, never. And now, yeah, I've run, I actually don't know how many events I've run. It's now become, I graduate from the Young Fabians, I think is the fair way to fair descriptor of it, having, you know, contributed to policy pamphlets, having influenced different shadow ministers, having run events both in person and online, organized committees, organized trips. You know, to speak to me 5 or 6 years ago, I'd never thought that I'd be organizing a delegation to the European Parliament. You know, that's, where else can you do that? You know, and that comes to the sort of the future of the Young Fabians. And its potential for the people involved. You know, I will always preach to the hill about the Young Fabians and the rise of Fabianism. I keep trying to encourage other people to talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that really comes to the change in leadership and the change of the guard, the Labour Party. If there's one thing which the Young Fabians has done really well in my time of being involved is the European stuff, right? The Young European Socialists is an antiquated body that there are problems with. That is a fact, and that's okay. That's okay. That happens. But Young Labour has been asleep at the wheel with the Young European Socialists. They haven't been involved. They haven't been sending delegations. They haven't been sending people to anything, because apparently the European Union isn't a body which the current international officer for the Young Labour. It stood to the Young Fabians for the last 3 or 4 years. For be the organisation who was involved with the Young European Socialists. We're literally the British voice, social democratic thinking within the body that represents the youth wings of social democratic parties across Europe. You know, we send delegations to the Young European Socialists. We send delegations to these different organisations. And I've been to 2 summer camps, and oh my God, if you haven't been, you are missing out, because it is a cheap holiday. It's normally a sunny location where you get to go and geek out with a load of mates and play flunky ball. You play flunky ball, which is this drinking game, which is a very continental, and I assure any Young Fabian who's not been, who doesn't know what flunky ball is, go and find out, because it's so much fun.
I need to find out what flunky ball is now.
Honestly, you're for a right treat. Best played with tinnies on a beach, and you'll love it.
Perfect.
But there's a nice anecdote which Lord Roy Kennedy, now on the senior exec as our treasurer, great guy. If anyone has the opportunity to work with him, highly recommend. He knows his stuff backwards and forwards and sideways. So we'd all got elected this year, but we were all sort of still figuring out all our positions and stuff. And I go for a beer in Parliament with Roy. So I tell him about the plans for the year, being more involved in the Young European Socialists. You know, it was my ambition this year for the Young Fabians to become a full member of the Young European Socialists. You know, normally what they're good at is putting on different events in different countries and having people go to those events. That's what they're normally quite good at, and they couldn't do that this year. Anyway, so Roy Kennedy tells me a story, and I may not quite have got the details right, but this is the thrust of it. So the Young European Socialists has been around for as long as the Young Fabians, you know, in one guise or another. And they've always done summer camps, and they've always done retreats, and they've always done bits and pieces where people can go and mix with other people from social democratic mindset all over Europe. They've done it for ages as a way of, you know, fostering cooperation and everything else. And so Roy tells me a story about when Blair's become prime minister, and it's the first visit of the Swedish prime minister to the UK. And the Swedish prime minister, it's all very formal, shaking hands, you know, Blair with his sort of couch mentality, you know, sofas and everything, you know, that handing, very formal. The Swedish prime minister turns around to one of Blair's aides and go, there's this guy called Steve something, I forget his last name. Is he around? Is he still involved? You know, what's going on with Steve? And Steve's working in a regional office somewhere. You know, he's had a good career for the party, but it's not quite, you know, not quite made it to prime minister or to be an MP or anything else. But he said, you know, good shout. And then, sort of later that day, they get Steve to come to the number 10 Downing Street and come and see, because it's Swedish prime minister, wasn't it? And everything's been very formal up to this point. And
yeah.
Then Blair goes, oh yeah, so we've got Steve. And Steve walks in, and apparently the Swedish prime minister goes, Steve, how are you? And they just do a hug, and they just go up for a really nice meal together. And they had met at a Young European Socialist summer camp. And they had organised together at a Young European Socialist summer camp. And the people you meet at these meetings, and the people you meet at the delegations, and the people you meet at summer camps, they are going to be the lead. So, you know, not all of them. Some of them are going to be the leaders in their European nations. And you foster cooperation with them now. And before you know it, you've got mate who you knew from 12 years ago is an MP in somewhere. And you've got that connection. And it's all about fostering cooperation for the future. So my call to arms is for everyone, once the pandemic is over, go to a summer camp, go to a trip. You know, there is a cost implication, which, you know, hopefully we can fundraise to get rid of in the future. But if you can go.
Yeah, brilliant. I think, yeah, recently, like, obviously we mentioned with the pandemic, that's given way to like all sorts of different opportunities, you know, like building bridges with certain shadow ministers and certain politicians and, you know, all around the globe. But I think, you know, with the recent leadership election, you know, we have...
That's weird. That's the change moment.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a real change moment.
Do you want to explain the sort of significance of that?
Yeah, yeah. The significance of it is really key, because Keir Starmer is the first ever leader of the Labour Party elected from serving on the Fabian Society executive. He has a real Fabian mindset. Now, every MP on the Fabian Society executive is now basically a shadow minister. Sima Mahotra is a shadow works minister, employment minister. Kate Green is now shadow education secretary. Wes Streeting is now in the treasury team. I mean, you've got Annalise Dodds, who's the first ever female shadow chancellor, serves as a sitting person on the Fabian Society executive. You know, I've had the privilege, because they serve on the executive, I have a direct line to all of them. And because we've had such a stellar year this year, there's a real sense and a desire to work with us in any way, in any capacity they can. They're limited because Fabianism is slow at the best of times. And it's, you know, it's meticulous and it's considered. And that's what Keir's MO is. It's calm, it's considered, it's methodical. Rise of Fabianism is the rise, in my view, of being an adult. You know, people having long-term viewpoints and a sustained pressure of good scrutiny, solid, steady heads, which just continue going forward. You know, the Fabian Society gets its name from Fabius Maximus. Now, someone's going to hate me for missing part of the story, but the whole name comes from a guy who beat Hannibal by, rather than having one big confrontation with Hannibal, he cut off his supply lines and he had one skirmish over there and he had a little thing over there and a little thing over there and cornered him over there and done. Rather than having one big clash, rather than going for Hail Mary pass, you do lots of little changes and you do lots of little efforts and lots of different manoeuvres. And that's the Fabian mindset.
Yeah.
That's the rise of Fabianism, the rise of, you know, being able to outmaneuver one of the most incompetent governments possibly in history and showing them being competent by good scrutiny and good analysis.
So what ways do you think Keir Starmer's showing that Fabian mindset?
Yeah, 100%. And so Keir Starmer, he'll say this government is incompetent, but he'll give you reasons as to why. And he won't say that you should do this one big thing over here. He says, well, that's, you shouldn't do that because that, you shouldn't do that because of this, and look at the repercussions, and, you know, you should consider these other options, and you should consider these things. And thereby, rather than stating you're incompetent, you need to be doing this thing, he's gone, that's not very considered, you haven't done that very well. I think that we should, I think that the government needs to look at these other options, and be calm and considered about it. And rather, and that for me is the difference. It's not as reactionary. It's not as big and blustery. It's not as one big trajectory. Rather, he's looked at it with an analytical mindset. For the most part, he has done a brilliant job of professionalising the Labour Party again. I was not a fan of the previous leadership. You know, that's not a secret in any way, shape or form. And one thing which I got annoyed about with them the most is the deprofessionalisation of the Labour Party. And it's that it's that shift to professionalism that really does it for me. And that's where there is an opportunity for the young Fabians like there has never been before. And that's my rallying call to people. If Mae from Stockport, you know, 19-year-old girl's done, just finished college, wants to get involved in doing policy and being able to influence, you know, the best, I want the young Fabians to be the best place for them to come to learn policy and to learn influence and to be able to train up into it, because she may have chosen to do an apprenticeship rather than go to university and do politics. And, you know, we were saying before this, the routes into an LJ from the senior section, you know, I'm definitely going to steal his thunder a bit. He's written a thesis on the accessibility of social democratic parties across Europe with a few different examples. And, you know, the Labour Party, it has a history of being accessible to people who have come from local newspapers, who've come from local media outlets, who've come from being shop students and trade unionists, from being, you know, involved in local government, from being involved in other bits and pieces. And then possibly some from graduates and some from social societies and a bit. And it was a real mix up until militant and the sort of hard Trotskyite left tried to come and dismantle the Labour Party and turn it into some quasi-communist thing. And then after that, the Kinnock reforms. And then after that, you saw a decline in local media. You saw a decline in trade union membership. You saw a decline in socialist society's activities. You saw a decline in membership of the Labour Party. And so a lot of the avenues that typically people would come through to get involved in the Labour Party and to train themselves up into a way of thinking that then gave them the ability to have access to the roles which are available within the Labour Party and within Parliament, they were then closed off. And one route that was then bolstered was Labour students. And Labour students came from, I think, my old boss, Tom Watson, when he reformed the old young Labour socialists into a multi-tiered and separated out system with the young Fabians all trundling along, you know, being relatively insignificant. No offence to previous young Fabians from the 70s and 80s. And then so the Labour students then takes off from the Kinnock years, and it becomes the main route of people getting involved within the political ecosystem. And that's because Kinnock and Blair and then Kinnock and Blair wanted a pool of young, highly educated people who could then go and do policy and could then go and do researcher roles and could be, and just all they wanted was a conveyor belt. They wanted a conveyor belt of people who they could just plug into all of these different roles they needed people in, because all of the other avenues had been closed off. You know, it wasn't necessarily that they wanted to pick that one, but that's the one that was there and that's the one which worked. So therefore, that's the one which took priority. And yeah, it's not a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I a few years ago, some people who may follow on Twitter a few months ago, I was part of a group of 14 chairs of Labour societies back in 2014 who called for the abolition of Labour students and for it to be remade into a democratic body. And that didn't happen then because we didn't get the backing of different people. You know, whoop-de-doo, Labour students kept going. And you know, now Labour students is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. You know, their last chair is gone, and now you're going to have student reps on Young Labour committee. And so that avenue for people to get involved in the Labour Party, from being a relatively young person to going and developing your skill set to then go and take up roles in regional offices or for MPs, that no longer exists, not in its form. And that represents an opportunity for the young Fabians, right? If we've now devolved, decentralised into regions, and we've developed different training mechanisms, and you know, people get involved in the Young Fabians and they write for pamphlets and they do research and they write for blogs and they do things in a meticulous and Fabian-esque mindset, then we offer a training ground for people who want to be involved in the Labour Party and in policy. And we need to be, and we need to develop into that conveyor belt.
Yeah.
To not necessarily focus on the Labour Party specifically, but on the political ecosystem and policy ecosystem. What do I mean by that? Well, that comes to journalism or different journalistic outlets. That comes to different think tanks, different pressure groups, different trade bodies, for example, you know, medical trade bodies or other trade bodies. That comes to public relations and different PR and public affairs roles. And that comes to investigating researcher roles, you know, all of these different things. Mm. People, this 19-year-old woman from Stockport who chose to do an apprenticeship but wants to understand policy, she should have, the Young Fabians should be accessible for her so that she can join the Young Fabians, get active, run an event, put together some policy, meet a couple of MPs, understand the political ecosystem so that maybe after 3 or 4 years of being involved in the Young Fabians, she goes, well, actually, I've got all this experience. I'm going to try and go for this role or that role. And that for me is what the Young Fabians has the potential to be. And then what's the beautiful thing which caps it all off with the cherry is because we now have shadow ministers who care about the Young Fabians, who actually care about us, want to see us do well. They are much more accessible than any front bench we have ever had as the Young Fabians. They are more accessible than ever before. That represents a key opportunity and a real cherry on the top of the cake for anyone who gets involved in the Young Fabians. You know, we've never had 11 events at conference, but because of the way the conference is being formatted, our Young Fabian Fringe has 11 events on it, and most of them have a shadow minister. You know, our pamphlets have all got contributors who are politicians, who are MPs, which is great. My hope is that the Young Fabian group that I then hand over to the next exec understands this, understands that they have a great opportunity, and the opportunity is not for them. That's the whole point. The opportunity is not for the people who get elected. Their job is to put the lads down. You know, if you get elected to the committee, I don't want to see you chairing an event.
Yeah.
Your job is to go out and find someone who needs the experience of chairing events, and you get them to do it. And you don't take any plaudits. You give them the plaudits. That's the best thing you can do. And if there's any, you know, if there's any people who are thinking of running for the Young Fabian exec, do it. Do it. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Don't you have to do a video? You know, you never know what's going to happen. I never thought that I was going to be this involved, and all of a sudden, I now live and breathe it, and it's been an excellent experience. And
yeah, whoever that one vote was that got you over the threshold.
You can thank Abdi Diwali. That's it. That's who it was. I don't know how many votes he got me some extra votes from somewhere, I don't know where, but apparently I have him to thank, so that's good.
thanks Abdi.
There's a few things I'm going to leave the Young Fabians with, which I'm really looking forward to. Is one is the decentralization, the rebrand of our magazine, hopefully a stronger network group. We're going to have our activists make an LGBTQIA+ advocacy group, which would be great. And my ambition, one thing I'm working on at the moment, is putting together a mentorship program that will align with the Fabian Women's Network one. And so my ambition is to have 25 mentors and have our first cohort of 25 mentees ready for next year. And those mentors will be captains of industry, members of parliament, people from think tanks and others, so that people who, that 19-year-old in Stockport, once she's written for a pamphlet, written for a blog, helped put together an event, those are the barriers to entry. Once you've done those things, then you should then have access to what will be the next level. And that next level will be being able to get a mentor who's already in the political ecosystem to help as a guide through and to help upskill you and to give you the cultural capital to really develop your career, develop your skill set and understand where you need to go and what you need to do to go and get that job that you wanted. And, you know, my big call to action is I don't think there's any group which gives people the access and, you know, the ability to grow a network more than the Young European Socialists if you, you know, access it and if you try and be part of it.
Yeah. And it all contributes to that sort of conveyor belt, you know, that conveyor belt of access, giving people the opportunities to go on to working in the Labour Party, working in policy, working in whatever they're passionate about. And I think
that doesn't matter. You know, you could be, this is part of the podcast is a prime example. If you want to go and become a podcast producer for like, what's the Ed Miliband podcast or whatever else, you know,
reason to be cheerful. Shout out.
Yeah. What you can do is you can come here and you can, if you come to the Young Fabians and you say, I want to run an event on this, I'm really interested in blah, what do I do? And I said, well, yeah, let's get you chairing an event. Let's get you writing a blog post. Writing a blog post is always a brilliant way to start. Shout out to Amber Khan for being excellent this year. We've never had this kind of blog activity before ever. And it begets more activity. Like last year, there was so little activity on the blog that the last blog post that year was done in May. And there wasn't a single one until I then took up the chair in November. So, you know, you get as much out of it as you put in. And it is down to exec members to reach out and find people who need to be upskilled and want to do more. And your job is to go and give them the tools and the assistance they need to go and do it. If you don't know how to do it yourself, then reach up and ask somebody. You know, I don't think I'm necessarily going to go anywhere for a few months after I finish as the Young Fabians, because I'm super keen to make sure that I leave a functioning society that can act as that conveyor belt, you know. You know, I spent a lot of time with Extinction Rebellion, and that's one thing I haven't spoken about, but I love the centralised model where people just go and do stuff. And, you know, that's what the Young Fabians should be. It should just be, I should not, as chair, know everything that's going on, because there should be so much stuff going on from lots of different people who just want to do stuff. And that's the mindset of, in my view, a successful youth group that acts in an adult way. You know, there's one advantage which I haven't spoken about during all this, which is our age as well. You know, we got to 31, whereas the Young Labour only goes up to 27. And that is actually a real advantage, because if we look at European comparisons, sorry, I know I'm circling back a little bit, but in Austria, in France, it's 35. In Austria, it's 36. In Germany, it's 35. In Germany, their youth wing of the Social Democratic Party is an amalgamation between Labour students, Young Fabians, and Young Labour, all in one. And you're not allowed to run on the committee if you're over the age of 30, but you can still be a member. And what they do is they have research projects and publications, and they have lots, because it's a slightly older age bracket, they have lots of people who've made it to become MPs and made it to become leaders of local councils and everything else. And what they have is, it does act as that conveyor belt, because they have near peers who they can just look to, and they can just tap up and go, hi, I'm so-and-so from Bavaria or wherever, or somewhere in the north or whatever, or east. I'm really interested in municipal waste because that's my jam. I love, you know, I'd love to talk about municipal waste. Bins, love bins, very important.
Nice.
And you can talk to people who are near peers who are in your same organisation, and you go from being an 18, 20, 25-year-old, and you do a couple of rounds of research and policy, and then all of a sudden you've done 6 years of research and policy work, even though you're You could be working as in any random other role which isn't related to policy, and you become ripe for the picking to go and work for a shadow minister, or go and work in a local authority, or go and work in a different place. There's loads of people who are our European neighbours who do it better than us, and we need to replicate that.
Nice one. Well, thanks, Adam, so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Louis. And shout out to Young Fabians for making my year just fantastic. I've had a great amount of fun. Ups, downs, lefts, rights, leadership elections, global pandemics, nothing slows us down. It's brilliant.